A locative, instrumental, or dative case. Okay? To tell you where we are, we're Ephesians 5:18. It's kai me mathus kaste oino en ho esten asotia ala pleru theiste en pneumati. It says, and of course, that word drunk there, that it means to be, well, we get methamphetamines, that's where that word comes from. It means don't be drugged up. Don't be drugged up. Don't be drunken or drugged with wine or by its influence. There's no preposition there. It would be in the instrumental case, not in the locative, by the way. Oino there is not in the instrumental, or not in the locative, but it's in the instrumental case. Don't be drunk by its influence, with or by is instrumental. Okay? In which, now here's your in, okay, in which is, it is wantonness. All right? Wantonness. That means the bottom of the ladder type of society, the base person. Base people, what is a base person? A base individual.
A child.
Well,
immoral.
Well, just totally, a base individual is a person that has no morals, that has no conscience of right or wrong. They don't want it. They refuse. That's what you call sociopathic. One that doesn't have any even desire to know right from wrong. Okay? Wantonness, but strong adversity conjunction. Be ye filled in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Be ye filled in the Spirit. Just be immersed in the Spirit. Be ye filled with it. Just get drunk in the Spirit. You know how alcohol influences people? What does it do to you? First of all,
relaxes you.
Okay? Relaxes your thinking, doesn't it?
Takes your reason away.
You know why it relaxes you? Your brain stops functioning. That's what. Yeah, your brain stops functioning. What alcohol is poison to your brain. It is poison. It is a toxin. The first thing it affects is your mind. And if you take enough of it, it stops your motor senses. Your heart quits breathing. You know, it's alcohol poison. You get overdose of it. But the first thing it does, it affects your reasoning. It just relaxes you because you don't have any inhibitions anymore. No more. Your reasoning goes away. Okay? It influences you. Remember we talked the other day about how they got drunk with wine? Everything that, you know. How that happened, very disgusting, but that's what happened. But alcohol, the first thing that goes in you, it goes into your bloodstream right away, and it goes to your brain. And it starts affecting your brain, your reasoning, your thinking. Your inhibitions, your reasoning dissolves. That's why people do things when they're drunk that they wouldn't normally do, and they wonder, why in the world did I do that? Because in reason, they wouldn't do that. But how does alcohol influence a person? Totally doesn't it? It totally influences. So it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be influenced, be totally controlled in the Spirit. Just like wine or alcohol would take over your life, let God take over your life with His Spirit. Let yourself be controlled like a drunk does. Now what does a drunk do when he gets up in the morning? What's the first thing he wants to do? Get another drink. I want another drink. The first thing he thinks about is booze. The last thing he thinks about when he goes to bed at night is booze. All during the day he has one thought on his mind, booze. How about if you were a Christian and you let the Holy Spirit influence your life like that? The first thing you got up in the morning you thought about was God. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? How about all during the day? If you were totally influenced by the Holy Spirit all day, And then the last thing you did before you went to bed was talk to God. That's being immersed in His will, in His Spirit. Okay? Does that answer your question, brother?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have any more? Well, you're learning some Greek, aren't you, with these things? All right. Thank you. If you want to come Sunday morning, we'll do this too Sunday morning. We study John 7 and verse 3. John 7 and verse un, pros, auton, hoi, adelphoi, autu, meta bethe, into you then,
kai,
hipage,
ace,
tain,
udion,
hina,
kai,
hoi, mathete,
su,
theresusen,
su,
ta,
erga,
ha, poies. All right. My teacher used to say every time we looked at the word ace, most of the grammars pronounce it ice. He said, there's no ice in ace. All the time, no ice in ace. And the first time I learned Greek, well, actually I learned it on my own, then I had this German teacher that he was very good in Greek, but he pronounced Greek incorrectly. And so I learned it ice, and then I had to learn it again. If you learn something wrong, you have to learn it right way in the end, and I found out that was wrong. Apone, that is. Third person plural, second aorist, indicative and active. And what is the root of that word? Does anybody know? Anybody recognize that yet? Well, the root of it is totally different than what it looks like.
Lego.
That's it. Lego is the root of that word. Lego. And this is third person plural, so who is doing this?
They.
All right. They are doing it. And it's in the aorist tense. What does aorist mean?
Punctiliar
action. It's indicative mode. Indicative.
Statement of fact.
A statement of fact. Active voice. They are doing the acting. All right. So it says, they said. All right. They said. If it was present indicative active, it would be they say. They say. But here it is, they said. It's punctiliar action. It happened. It's done in the past. They did it at one time. They said. It doesn't say whether the action was completed or not or whatever, but it is punctiliar in the past. Okay? They said, un, therefore. That's a particle. If you want to look on page 295 in your analytical lexicon, you'll find that all about un. Okay? And then pros. And if you turn over a little further on page 346, you'll find out about that one. Pros. We know what pro and con means. What does pro mean?
For.
All right. And this has the idea of toward somebody. Toward them. Toward. They said toward. Facing. Okay? Prosopon is a word for face. Face to face is what it means. Face to face. And when it says in John 1 and 1, toward the God, this is the word, proston theon, okay? Toward. That's showing an idea of direction. I'm looking at my students. I'm looking toward you. You're out there, I'm over here. But I'm looking toward you, you're looking toward me occasionally. All right? Toward him. That idea of the direction, now that direction is placed, and this is out tone, all right? That's third person singular. I'm not third person singular, but accusative singular masculine, third person pronoun. Okay? Accusative singular masculine, third person pronoun. Accusative is a case of what? That's the case of it's the objective. In the objective case in English, and it's like a direct object, okay? The man hit the ball. All right? The man hit the ball. He hit it. The action came from the man, and the ball received the action. Okay? He hit the ball. And they said, therefore, toward him, looking at him. And their words were directed at him, and their words hit him. Remember, in the Greek idea of talking and speaking, you catch up in speech. You throw the ball back and forth. You catch the words. You throw your words to me, I catch the words, I throw the words back to you. See? To catch up in speech. To speak back and forth. Like playing ball. All right? Now this is what's happening. They're playing ball with words. Here. Therefore they said to him, the one's brothers. Okay? The one's brothers, they said to him, brothers of him. All right, the brothers there, that's the ones that's doing the speaking, isn't it? All right, that's nominee, plural, masculine. Look at the word hoi there. Hoi, remember what the word hoi is? Ho is the, that's nominee, singular, masculine. Hoi here is nominee, plural, masculine. Not singular, but nominee, plural, masculine. And then we have adelphos is nominee, singular, masculine. Adelphoi is nominee plural masculine. In Greek, it tells you what part of a speech every word plays. This is the subject that's doing the acting right here. All right? This is the subject. The nominee case is the case of the subject. It's plural in number. It's masculine in gender. I was teaching, I think last Friday night here at the church. My wife was sitting by this guy, And I was talking about God, and I said, he did this and he did that. And he said, he's not a man. He's not a masculine. Like that. You know what? He is. Because the Bible says he is. In English, you can get around that, but not in Greek and not in Hebrew. In Greek and in Hebrew, he did it. This is talking about Jesus here, this outtone. That's not Alte, is it? Alte would be she. Okay? It's not Alto. That would be it. It is Altone. Altone. Him. God is masculine. He's called the Father. You can't be a father unless you're masculine, can you? That's just the way it is. All right? That's the way it is. You depart. Meta bethe, second person singular, second aorist, imperative active. Imperative mode means what? Imperative mode. That is a command. Command. That is a command. Second person singular, that is you. Huh. You depart. Second aorist, imperative, active voice, they're saying, you depart, get out of here. That comes from meta, bino. From here, into uthen, from here. And then kai, that conjunction again. And hypage, here we have the same type word. This is second person singular, and this is present, imperative, and active. And you get going and stay going. That's what it means. Get going and stay going. You go. Just keep on going. Remember the old, well, you're probably too young for all of that. On television a long time ago, there's a guy got up there and he'd say, Ford. And his lips would spell Ford. Ford. That's why he says, go and keep on going. Get going and keep on moving. Go, and then we have this word ace there. Look at that, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That Greek preposition, ace, okay? If you look that one up on page 119 in your analytical lexicon. And that denotes extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It tells you how it is. Acts 2:38, baptized, it says in King James, for the remission of sins. But how really should that be? The Anglican Church, the Church of England, believed in baptismal salvation. So that's why they translated it for the remission of sins. But how should it be translated? Why are you baptized? Because you have been saved. Because of extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Baptized because you have been saved. When the Pharisees came to Jesus, or came to John on the banks of the Jordan River, they said, "We want to be baptized." And he said, "You bring forth what? Works worthy to show me that you have repented, then I'll baptize you." And another time he said, "Who caused you to flee from the wrath to come? The Holy Spirit is not dealing with your life. God is not convicting you of sin. You're doing this on your own. You're out here trying to make points with the people because you take me for a prophet of God." You say, and remember when they came to Jesus and they asked him, "By whose authority do you do these miracles?" He said, "Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. By whose authority did John baptize?" And what did they say? What?
They said they didn't know.
Well, that's what their answer was. But what did they say among themselves? Among themselves.
They said that if we say this.
If we say that John was doing it by earthly authority, he said they will kill us. Because they know he's a prophet of God. And if we say that his authority is from God, he'll say, "Then why don't you follow him?" And we're dead, and we're still dead in the dirt. So what we're going to say, we're going to say we don't know. He said, "Then I don't know either." Boy, Jesus had a sense of humor, didn't he? He had a sense of humor. Ace. Unto or into Judea. In order that, look at that word down. Here we have into, and here we have Judea, tain, Judeon. That's accused even in singular right there, that definite article, and so is Judea, Judeon. It's Judah, okay? And then we have the word Hina. Hina, it's a little conjunction. It's on page 201 in your analytical lexicon, by the way. In order that. In order that. And then we have the word Chi. And here, it is a cumulative particle instead of a conjunction. And that's on page 208 in your analytical lexicon. You writing all that down, Ken? See if my memory's correct. I've done them so many times that I've memorized it. By sheer exposure, that's all, not of genius. And then it says, Hoi Mathete. All right. He said also, the disciples here. The disciples of you. The disciples of you I made a mistake in that thing a long time ago. Correct myself. The disciples of you, they shall behold as on a well-lighted stage. Theurai Susan. They shall behold. That's third person plural. Future tense. Future, that's in the future, they shall. Indicative, that's a statement of fact, and active voice, they shall behold. And then we have the word sue there. See that one? But it's in brackets, isn't it? Now, someplace down the line, remember what we talked about the Hebrew text? Every jot and tittle, every mark, every breather, every vowel was marked and counted. It wasn't so in the Greek New Testament. Somewhere along the line, somebody says, "Well, if we put Sue in there, they'll understand a little better what it's talking about because it's not worded quite as smoothly as it should be." So that word Sue there shouldn't really be there. That's been added later for understanding. It should actually, it's not there in the original language, in the oldest text, okay? And that's that they shall behold the works which you do. Now, the works belong to Jesus, Sue. That's genitive singular, okay? Whoever wrote that in there, they were trying to emphasize the works of Jesus, okay? But really, it doesn't say that, does it? The works which, and that word which there is witches. 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 It's plural. The works, that's a little kind of a relative pronoun of the works. And the works is what? That's accusative plural. Okay? Ta is accusative plural, and erga is accusative plural, and ha is accusative plural. The works which is you do, which you practice, second person singular, present indicative active, and it's poies or poio, poies, poie, poiomen, poiete, poiusi, poiein. That's the way you conjugate this verb. Okay? It's oise, omen, eti, usi, ein. That's conjugated. Let's look at it. 1, 2, 3. O, ace, eti, omen. Omen, ete, usi. And by the way, you can have a movable new on the end of that. And then ain. That's present indicative active endings. All right? I don't know what page that is in my grammar. It's not marked yet, but it's in there. We got to go back and put page numbers in it the next time we print it. The works which you do, or the works which you practice, because it's present, indicative, and active. All right, over to John 7 and verse 4. John 7 and verse 4. And somebody, if you hear this machine click off, would you tell me, because it's getting close to the end? And just in case I don't hear it, if my mouth's going, I might not hear it. Okay. Udes. Gar. T. N. Crypto. Oye. Kai. Zete. Autos. In. Paresia. Ene. A. Taute. Poies. Phanerousson. Si auton. To. Cosmo. Beautiful, beautiful words, beautiful language. Udes. That comes from uk, day, and ace. Let's look at that little combination word there. A word made up of three different words. Okay? Udes. That comes from uk. And they and ace. All right? Uk is an adverb of negation. All right? An adverb of negation. That means not. Not or no. They is a weak adversative conjunction particle. Page 85 in your analytical lexicon. And ace. Ace here is not a preposition, but it also is a numeral. And a numeral, it is a numeral one. All right? In Spanish, it is what? Uno, dos, tres. In Greek, it is heis, dio, tres. Or hina. Dio tres. Ace. Ace. Dio tres. Alright? Now what does it mean here? One. Moreover. Moreover. Not one. Or no one. Okay? Or not one thing. Okay? Not one thing. Do you see how the language is made up? And then we have a conjunction or a casual particle. Either way you want to look at it, this gar, that next word, gar. And you can look that one up on, if you've got A.T. Robertson, that's on page 1190. Or in your little analytical lexicon, it's on page 75. All right? Four. It's kind of an idea. Four, not one thing. It's kind of a conjunctive particle. Can you see what it... For, not one thing. And then we have the word T there. And that's a little interrogative. It's kind of a question mark. For, not anything. Anything. It's kind of an indefinite interrogative particle. Kind of an adjective. Okay? And that's on page 403 in that little lexicon. And then in. For not one thing, anything, in. Then we have, and that is in, that's a little preposition, isn't it? And that's a preposition, Cecil?
Yes.
Okay, and that preposition is used in what case? When somebody handcuffs you, they lock you up. In the locative case, okay? For not one thing, not anything, in crypto. Crypto. What is a cryptic? What does cryptic mean?
Secret is in the dark.
Secret or in the dark. Cryptic. Not in secret and not in the dark. Not hidden. Not with a cover on it. How about the word apocalypse? Apocalypsis? To Jesus Christu. What is that? Apocalypsis? To Jesus Christu. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What is the apocalypse in the Bible? What book is the apocalypse? It's also called the Revelation. Apocalypse. All right. That means what? To take the cover off. To expose. To reveal. This word means secret. All right. Or covered. Secretive or covered. For not one thing in secret, he does. Look at that word. Poie. That's poio. Poies. Poie. So that is what? Third person singular, present, indicative, active. And that's from poio. Okay? And then we have the word chi here in this sentence here, this part of the sentence. This chi is a... Zatio. Zealous. 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 It means to be zealous, boiling, just happy, boiling over. All right? He doesn't do anything. He doesn't seek himself. He seeks himself in the open to be. He seeks himself. That word himself there, autos, that's actually nominative singular masculine third personal reflexive pronoun. He didn't seek to hide his ministry. The whole purpose of Christ's ministry was what? To prove that he was the Messiah without a doubt. He had his messianic credentials. When he left his disciples on this earth, they were to prove to the world that they were the disciples of Christ, and they received the revealed will of God in what we call Scripture. That is called the New Testament. What does the word New Testament in Greek is hei kine diatheke? What does that mean? Hei kine diatheke. The New Testament. But what is the word diatheke? It's berith in Hebrew. What is it? What is it? The new heart. The new contract. The new covenant. The new contract. The New Testament. The new contract. In the Old Testament, there was an old contract. Basically, it was the same contract. But in the New Testament, Christ fulfilled the old contract, that pointed, the whole Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ coming. The lambs that were slaughtered before the tabernacle and before the temple all typified what? Jesus to come. The wood that was in the tabernacle, what does it testify of? All of these things were a type of Jesus Christ. What did the wood, what was it? The humanity of Jesus Christ. What was the gold in the tabernacle? What did the gold typify? The divinity of the deity of Jesus Christ. What did silver typify? All of the silver sockets. What did silver typify? The redemption of Jesus Christ. How about brass? Brass. What did brass typify? Judgment. In the wilderness, Moses was confronted with a problem with the children of Israel. God got mad at them and sent fiery serpents among them. They weren't fiery. They didn't look like fire or anything, but they bit like fire was burning. And he told them, he said, if they want to live, you make a brass serpent. A serpent, and you put it on a crucifix. That's what he told them. Put it on a standard, a cross. It was a cross just like this. He said, take one of those standards that you got your flags on, flying down like this from the tribes. And he said, you put a snake up on that thing, a brass snake. And that brass snake is to typify healing. If they'll look to that brass snake, they will be healed. If they don't, they'll die. How many of you ever seen the the physician standard? It has two snakes on it, doesn't it? They made a mistake. Two snakes in standard in the old Roman Empire meant commerce or trade. It did! That's about the way it is. It made was prophecy, wasn't it? All right. And the single snake was the old standard for healing because of what God did in the wilderness. The single serpent. Now, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, he became like sin for you. What does the snake represent? Judgment. In the book of Genesis, isn't it? Judgment upon sin. Judgment. It's real hard for us to understand that Jesus says, like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up in a like manner on the cross. Psalm 22 says that Jesus Christ's hands would be nailed to a cross. David wrote that psalm. David wrote that psalm before crucifixion was ever invented. Did you know that? God prophesied he would be crucified on a cross before they invented crucifixion. Even before it was invented. The types in the Old Testament. And as you study the words of Jesus Christ, you see those types all fulfilled in him. The purple color, what did that stand for? The royalty of Jesus Christ. How about the red? The red colors that were in there.
The blood.
How about white?
Purity.
The purity, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Brown, the humanity of Jesus Christ. All of these things, all had a reason to be there. All of it looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. That whole, the tabernacle and the temple, all typified what Jesus Christ would do for us. It says he didn't seek to cover up his deeds, but to make them open. Paresia. Paresia. What in the world does that mean? That means literally freedom of speech. It's freedom of speech. When you have freedom of speech, you're not afraid to speak, are you? It means openly. Openly, you can translate the thing. Freedom of speech, or openly he spoke. He had freedom of speech because he wasn't afraid of them, was he? I read Pilate's report in here a few weeks ago. And Pilate says during the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, during the trial of Jesus Christ, the only person that was calm in the whole crowd was whom? Jesus. Jesus Christ looked forward to the cross. We can't understand that at all. He looked forward to the cross. He'd been looking forward to the cross all the way from eternity past so that he could save us. The last thing he said on there was tetelestai. What was that? That's the last word he said. He spoke it in Greek. What?
It is finished.
It means that it's translated, it is finished. But you know what it should be translated? It is paid in full. That's what it means. It is paid in full. When a person was put in jail, he was put in jail for a certain jail term. When he was released, he says if he was robbery, he paid in full. His time is spent, it's paid in full. You know what? Our redemption was paid in full. Right there. Paid in full. He spoke openly. Everything he did was to be done. That word ane there, that comes from Amy. It was to be done in open. And then, we have another part of this sentence, and we had A there. See that word A, epsilon, iota. Now, A is one of the four classes of conditionals in Greek. There are four classes of conditional. Okay? Now, it could be spelled differently than this, but the spelling does not rule the condition. In Greek, the condition is ruled by the verb on down there. Okay? It says, openly to be, since these things you do, look at that one, you do there. That's third or second person singular, present indicative active. Now, what part of that verb rules that conditional? The mode. And when something's in the indicative mode, it is a statement of fact, isn't it? And in King James, it probably says, if these things you do, if. But in Greek, it's more than if. It's since. Since you do these things openly, you will manifest yourself to the world. Since you are doing these things openly, not if, but since you are. In James it says, if a man needs wisdom or seeks wisdom, let him ask from the giving God, something like that. I can't remember what it says in King James, really. That's Greek. But it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him seek from the giving God. If any man lacks wisdom. You know what it should be translated? Since all men lack wisdom. Since all of us lack wisdom. Every one of us lack wisdom. The only place we can get wisdom is from God. All right. And by the way, the word for mind and wisdom like that is Sophia. Sophia, the Greek word Sophia. That means godly wisdom, the ability to turn everything that happens in your life to the glory of God. To the glory of God. These things, since these things you practiced openly, or like it says, parousia there, you manifest yourself. Look at that word manifest there. Phanerouson. That second person singular first there is the imperative active. Comes from phanerio. That means to turn all the lights on. How many of you have ever been around the shooting of a moving picture? A real professional picture like Wagon Train, you know, what they call, used to call, some of the old movies. Riders of the Purple Sage, or The Old Man and the Sea. You know that they had, they used as much candle power in lighting on those sets as a whole city was lit up. Did you know that? When they made these, and they even used reflectors in the early days, like with Roy Rogers and everything, if you'll see them, they had big reflectors shining the light. No wonder they looked squinty-eyed. The lights were on. There couldn't be any shadows, because the shadows would distort the picture. So there couldn't be any shadows. And if you look, there aren't any shadows, unless they wanted one there for some purpose. But if you look, there aren't any shadows, because they had light coming from every angle. And it was hot underneath those lights. And on the stages back here at this period of time, on the Greek and Roman stages, they would have somebody, they would have a Colosseum, and down there on the stage, they would have lights all the way around the stage. And it would be fully, thoroughly lighted, encircled with light, so you could see every side of the individual that was out there. The reflectors were all pointed toward that person. You know, 360 degrees in every way. There was no darkness. And that's the term that's used right here. Lit up, manifest, like on a well-lighted stage. Where? To the world, native singular masculine, to the cosmos. To the cosmos. You know, Jesus Christ didn't just die for man. Did you know that? For God so loved the world, not mankind. He so loved the world system, the whole created order of things, that He gave His only begotten Son. Now the only ones that believe, basically, is man. Because the animals follow, don't they? When God called the grasshoppers into Egypt, they came. Some of them didn't say, "I won't go." They came. When He calls the lice to hit Egypt, they went. The lice went. That's right. Power. Dynamis. Dynamite power. Like I said last week, I don't believe in irresistible grace, but I'm going to tell you something. Not one person that ever goes to heaven resisted the grace of God. Not one person that goes to hell ever... was the grace of God received and then lost. They're gone. They resisted. Resisting. God died. His Son tasted death for the whole created order of things. Adam was created as He created the earth. God created Adam not from the earth, but as He created the earth. From the same elements that He created the earth. Okay? That's what I'm teaching on Sunday morning, by the way. We're going through from eternity to eternity in the creation. We're back in creation right now. God created Adam from the same elements that He created the earth, not from the earth. He was a primary creation of God. And then He took Eve from Adam. And He didn't take him from her rib either. It says He took him from her from his sides. And the word woman is in Hebrew isha, which means out of man. The word ish is man. He took isha from ish. He took from the sides of Adam, He took woman. And He created her in the man's image. He had two legs, two feet, two hands, two eyes, a head. And when God created Adam, He created Adam in His image. He created them. Because He created Adam, He took woman from Adam, and He created woman in man's image. And then he had one being, He took that one being, and He made two beings, then He put them back together in marriage, and they became one again. That's beautiful, what God did. And man was not a secondary creation of God. When something that is a secondary creation of God, that cabinet is a secondary creation. Did you know that? That cabinet was made from something else. It's made from a tree, wasn't it? This is made from metal. This is made from cloth, probably mostly oil. Synthetics. Made from something else. Man was not made from dirt, but man was made like dirt. He was made akin to dirt to become dirt. That's prophecy, to become dirt. When man dies, he goes to dirt. He becomes dirt. Okay? His flesh becomes dirt. His spirit goes back to God. His spirit and his soul go someplace. Man is a conscious entity. Beautiful, beautiful things in the Word of God. In the original language, I'll tell you what, there's so much study there, you could never run out. You'll never run out. I always used to teach my students in the seminary. I said, if you study God's Word, you even study His inspired Word from the original language, and you won't run out of soap. You can't run out of soap, because the Word of God is alive, living. It is so powerful. It's wonderful. It'll keep you going. My mother asked me the other day, do you ever study the Bible in English? I said, no. Why? Why would I study it in English? I only preach in English. And some of that. Study the Word of God, the revealed, the inspired Word of God. It's beautiful. It said, in God, in the beginnings, that's what it says in Genesis 1 and 1, in beginnings, God created, literally it says, created God, the heavens and the earth. Heavens, Hashemayim, the uplifted waters, and the Haaretz, the dirt, the earth. And then it says in verse 2, the first word that's used in Messiah later, and the earth she became, formless and void. The earth she became, the earth, Haaretz, Hayah. Became formless and void. She wasn't created that way, but she came, became that way. God created man sinless. He created the earth sinless. He created the universe sinless. And man became sinful. And the earth became tainted with sin. The sin of Lucifer and of Satan. By the way, the word Lucifer means the light carrier. The word Satan means the opposer. The one who stands against. Give you a little bit of that while I'm in there. From Hebrew. Okay. John 7 and verse 5. John 7 and verse 5. Jesus' brothers and sisters did not believe that He was the Christ. Jesus said one time, you will say unto me, Physician, heal thyself. Have you ever wondered what that in the world that meant? Physician, heal thyself. What did it mean? And He said, a prophet is never recognized in his hometown. What do they mean, physician, heal thyself? What was Jesus? Was He a doctor? Was He a doctor? What did He do in His ministry? He went around healing people, didn't He? That healing, that ability to heal, was not a certificate on the wall to make people well. He was not a doctor. But He was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. But they said He's not the Messiah, He's a doctor.
Who said that?
The Pharisees. Physician, heal thyself. When He was on the cross of Calvary, what did they say? He healed others. He saved others. Let Him save Himself and us too. He healed others. And He saved others. Let Him save us and Himself too. That's what that one bad criminal on the cross was. By the word criminal up there, that was more than just a thief. They were killers. They were probably part of Barabbas' gang. Barabbas was a leader of organized crime. He was an Al Capone of his day. He was a killer. He was a murderer. He was a con artist. He was a scam artist. He was a rat. He was an antisocial personality disorder in psychology. That means he had no conscience. Everything he did was for his own good, and he didn't care about anybody else. And Barabbas is who they asked for. when he says, Pilate says, let me give one to you since you have a scapegoat. The law teaches about the scapegoat. Let me turn one free, one loose here. And they said, give us Barabbas. And what does Barabbas mean? Barabbas. What does Bara mean? Bara mean in Hebrew? That means son, Ben. All right. What it? Ben, son of the father. That's what it meant. He was the son of the father of all evil. And the other one was the son of God. Isn't that something? Isn't that uncanny? You know who Barabbas typified? You and me. He was the guilty one. He was the no good, low down Charles Manson of his day. He was the Al Capone, Pretty Boy Floyd of his day. And he was turned free. And who did the stripes fall upon? Jesus Christos. Jehovah saves the Messiah. The Messiah. Uday. Brother Fred, it's 7:15, if you need for me to tell you that. It's 7:15. All right.
Thank you.
Uday. Dar. Hoy. Adelphoi. Altu. Epistu un. Ace. What? Epistu un. All right. Ace. Alton. This guy is getting so good, I can't make a mistake.
No, I just want to hear it again.
All right. If you want to hear it again, I may not pronounce it the same way twice. Uday. Now, we looked at Udays a while ago. And by the way, there's Udays and Udamia. Okay? Udamia means the same thing as Udays. It just uses a different word for one. This one's Uday. 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 Moreover, not. And not. For and not. For and not. Or for, moreover, not. The one's brothers. All right? Hoi adelphoi. Hoi is the nominative, plural, masculine. Okay? Hos, or whole, that is. And adelphos. And ho adelphos, that's nominative singular masculine. And then, hoi adelphoi, that's nominative plural masculine. Okay? The brothers. Okay, what does adelphos mean? Adelphos.
Brothers.
What?
Brothers.
It means brother. How about adelphi? Sister. All right. Hey adelphi, that's sister. All right. Or it would be hey adelphi. That with the alpha e would only end up, that's plural. Okay. What does adelphi and adelphos mean? What does it literally mean? Did you know? Any of you? It means from the same womb. From the same womb. From the same womb. The boys from the same womb. Okay? From the same womb. W-O-M-B. From the same womb. What was that womb that they came from?
Mary.
Mary. All right. Mary had other children besides Jesus. She only had one Jesus. The Holy Spirit was his father. God created an embryo, actually the sperm to go into that embryo, in Mary. And Mary brought forth another Adam, another sinless human without sin. Because that child was born without sin. Sin does not go through the woman. It comes through man. Sin is not passed on through the woman, but it is passed on from the man. And a woman can't have a child without a man. You have to have that man. and the blood comes from the man. And what is where is the life? In the blood. All right. The Bible taught that all the way through. Did you know? I don't know if I taught you this before or not. I teach two classes, so sometimes it runs over together. How many of you ever ate a chicken egg? Any of you eat a chicken egg ever?
Chicken egg?
Chicken egg.
Yeah.
Egg?
Yeah.
All right. You ate an egg before? That yellow part of that egg is the embryo. That's the egg. And every woman has enough of those eggs in to have 1,000 children. Every woman does. Those tiny little eggs, embryos. But that hen does not pass one bit of blood onto the chick that's born. The rooster does. There's no blood that comes from the hen. A little child is fed by his mother, but no blood from the mother goes into that child. Not one bit that comes from the father. That's scientific fact. Scientific fact. That scientific fact with agrees with the Word of God. The sin is not passed on to the woman, but is passed on to the man. These were children from the same womb, but they had a different father. And that father had sinful blood in him. He was the son of Adam. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Different. Beautiful thing. From the same womb. You can go take these in your classes. See? From the same womb. Those from the same womb, the brothers, those from the same womb, they were Mary's children. Okay? The brothers of him, belonging to him, I'll told, that's genitive singular masculine, third person pronoun. They kept on believing, not they kept on believing in him. The not is right in the first of the sentence, but it's tied right in with this third person plural and perfect indicative acting. That comes from pistiol. Epistion. That's third person plural and perfect indicative acting. Imperfect tense is what? That's a continuing tense. Imperfect tense is incompleted, but it's continuing on. It just keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling. And his brothers continued not to believe in him. Look at that word. Ace. Ace denotes extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. They did not believe in him. They did not believe because of him. Why didn't they believe? What was the cause that they didn't believe? Do you think Mary might have said one time, said, Jesus, which one of these rats got into the cooking jar? What do you think Jesus said? You think he told the truth? And they said, that little... That little tattletale. This could have been. They were raised with him. They were raised with him. How about Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph was a direct type of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Joseph. Did his brothers like him? What did they want to do to Joseph? Get rid of him. Later on, he was their Savior, wasn't he? He was their Savior down in Egypt, and they had to feel sorry, and they had to repent, and they had to bawl and squall. And ask him to forgive them. What happened? We have two of Jesus' brothers in the New Testament writing New Testament books. What are they? What two books that the brothers of Jesus, those of the same womb of Jesus, write?
James.
And Jude. All right. There you go. They believed after the resurrection. After the resurrection. Boy. You know that there's still probably children in this world that came from Mary existing today. And the Jewish people, among the Jewish people. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. There are still some of those. existing in the world. Probably some of her children lived. Did you know that? And had children and children and children and children. But Jesus begot many children, didn't he? Everyone that would ever believe in him, from then until now, Jesus is their brother and their father. Many children. Beautiful, beautiful words of life. Beautiful words of life. Let's go on just a little bit further. Do you have any questions around here? Do you have any questions before?